Hello and welcome to episode 52 of the Spiritual Success Podcast. Today I'm talking to Sophie Ballantyne at The Feel Good Effect, and she's a holistic health coach. She was trained as a nurse, but now she helps people with their nutrition. And I actually found her on Instagram a few years ago because of her incredible smoothies that she makes. And she is just a wealth of wisdom when it comes to food and holistic health. So if you've been feeling like you know your diet needs a change, you want more energy because you're an entrepreneur, busy mother, and you just feel like it's time for a change in your diet, but you don't really know how to go about it or where to begin, you're going to love this episode. She shares some amazing tips, amazing advice, whatever your situation and whatever your budget. There are always changes we can make in order to feel better and to have more energy, especially if you are sensitive, intuitive, empathic. I mean, our bodies are intuitive devices. So it's more important for us than anyone to be aware of our diet and aware of what we're putting into our bodies. So I hope you enjoy this episode and I hope you find it very, very valuable. Do let me know what your favorite tips were. And like I said, if you want to find really amazing smoothie recipes, then definitely check out Sophie's Instagram, which she mentions at the end of the episode. Welcome to the Spiritual Success Podcast with me, Liz Roberta, a place for spiritual people who want to grow, learn, and succeed in life and a business. I'll be talking to successful spiritual entrepreneurs, authors, and thought leaders to understand what creates a meaningful and soul-aligned life. So come on in, lightworkers, this is your time to shine. Hi, Sophie.
Hi, how are you?
I'm very well. We're on opposite sides of the world. So it's freezing, literally 2 degrees above freezing where I am. And you're going into peak summer. So we're wearing totally different outfits. You've got your arms out in a nice summer top and I'm in the thickest jumper that I own.
Yeah, it's warm here. It's definitely warm here.
So I'm really glad that you came on the podcast because I was drawn to your Instagram account probably about 2 years ago now because you posted the most incredible smoothie recipes. And anyone who follows me on Instagram and watches my stories knows that I have a smoothie for breakfast probably about 5 times a week. And then the other 2 days I might have avocado and bacon or like a bagel with egg and bacon because I'm vegetarian. And I absolutely love my smoothies. And now I do intermittent fasting. So I eat at 11:30 and 5:30 p.m. with a snack at 2:30. But I've been on such a journey with my diet because I'm really sensitive in my gut. And so I'm very sensitive to things like dairy. And I know it's going to be the same case for a lot of people listening who are sensitives, intuitives, empathic, because with that comes a sensitivity in your body. So I'd love to learn more about you, first of all, because you are a trained nutritionist, is that right?
Yeah, so I used to be a registered nurse, but I got into holistic health because I had my own journey with anxiety, skin issues, IBS, energy issues, and I just started to really delve into the world of holistic health. I didn't know what it was before I started my nursing degree, and I just fell in love with the power of food, with the power of energy, our mindset, connection with our fulfillment, with others. And yeah, so I studied to become a certified holistic health and nutrition coach. So I loved it. I delved into so many different areas of health and well-being, with nutrition being one of them.
And when you've been on this journey, were there any parts of your own story that really directed you into learning more about nutrition? Did you have any kind of health issues or sensitivities of your own that really guided you towards learning more about it?
Absolutely. So my whole life, I had digestive issues. I got told I had IBS from a very young age. Looking back, it was definitely stress related. Like, my parents split up when I was really young. That caused a lot of stress as a little child. And so it just kind of stuck with me as I went through my years of growing up, because I didn't have the education. I wasn't eating very well. Stress came up, as we do, as it comes up with different areas of life. And I just kind of learned to live with it. I saw different doctors. I saw different specialists. I did all the tests. I did all the diets, all the elimination and things to try and figure out what was causing my irritated digestive system, and I couldn't find anything. So that was a big reason. why I wanted to help other people with their health and well-being, because I know how frustrating it can be when you don't have any answers. My skin as well, I struggled with acne and breakouts growing up. I went on the birth control pill when I was about 18 for my skin, obviously for other reasons as well. And then when I came off it about 9 years later, all those issues came up. So for me, it's very much about getting to the root cause of things. And it's why I stopped nursing, because there is an absolute place for medicine and medication and surgeries and things like that. But a lot of the time we're just putting a big fat band-aid on a lot of things. And it's our lifestyle and our nutrition that we can really look at to see if it can help either prevent or treat any disease or illnesses that we have.
Yeah, when you said about growing up in a stressful environment, that just brought back memories for me, because when I grew up, I was in like a dysfunctional house. So my parents weren't really focused on things like nutrition. We didn't have any money. So all my meals growing up were just beige. So it would be baked beans out of a tin, potato smileys, chips. That was the kind of meal it would be every day, or fish fingers. I don't remember there being any veg, or if there was, it would be frozen peas, beans. I mean, I just didn't know anything about nutrition. And then when I went to university, I remember the girls I live with making fun of me because I would eat like a garlic baguette for dinner and I did not know what to do with myself. And for the first week, I would literally eat Müller rice, which is kind of like a yogurt, and hula hoops. And I didn't know what to do. I was so lost. And therefore, throughout my 20s, it was really a process of trying to understand, okay, what can I eat to actually give me energy? And I also worked at Costa Coffee, which is like a Starbucks kind of chain. So that was from when I was 16 to 21. And that was great because at university, I could bring home free food that was left over. But it was, again, paninis, cakes. So I was eating pretty much only beige food until I was 22, 23. And I feel like I've learned so much since then. Like since being with my husband and living together, we get HelloFresh sometimes, and just being vegetarian and using cookbooks and things like that. But I still feel like there is so much for me still to learn. So are there any things we should be trying to get every day? Because there's so many different opinions on nutrition, and we'll talk about different diets next. But in terms of the core nutrients or some kind of balance of different food types we should be getting every day, is there anything we should be aiming for with that?
Yeah, I think, I mean, everybody's different with what you need and the nutrition that you need, depending on if you have any health concerns or anything like that. But I think the core foundations, I mean, you cannot go wrong with getting more nutrients in your body, which comes mostly from the form of plants, right? So that's fruits and vegetables. And I always say, aim to eat the color of the rainbow every single day. So we've got the, I don't know what it is for you guys over there, but here in Australia, it's the recommended serves is 5 veggies and 2 fruit. That could have even changed recently, I'm not too sure, but aim for the colors because that's where you get the variety. There is so many nutrients that we have available to us. And a lot of people, I had a statistic recently, I think it's like 96% of people don't get that recommended serves every single day. So that means you are missing out on a lot of nutrients. So definitely aim to eat the rainbow. So there's the reds, the orange, the yellows, greens, blues and purples. They have so many antioxidants in them. Even as funny what you're speaking about with the beige colors, but even things like potato and rice and things like that that are a beige color that are whole foods, they actually have so many nutrients in them as well. So don't be scared to eat potatoes. I remember when I was a nurse, someone had on their whiteboard in their room, which has their name and their date of birth and any allergies, and it said potato. And I said, oh my gosh, you're allergic to potatoes? And she was like, oh no, I just don't want to eat them because they're bad for me. So don't be scared of potatoes. They are one of the most nutrient dense vegetables, foods in the world. But I think as well, focus on a balanced variety of carbs, fats, and protein and fiber, which will come from the fruits and veggies. So carbs, a lot of people, when I say carbs, they're like, oh my gosh, I can't eat carbs. But carbs are very good for you. We need them for energy. So that's things like potato or sweet potato or rice, whole wheat breads and things like that. Fats, again, people get scared of fats, but think of your healthy, always think of your whole food or your healthy fats. So things like avocados, good oil. So things like olive oil or coconut oil. Do not be eating canola oil or anything like that. I mean, you can have them in moderation if you're going out for dinner or something like that, but you want to be focusing on the more nutrient dense fats, things like nuts and seeds as well. And then protein, that depends on how you eat. I know you're vegetarian, I'm vegan, so we don't eat animal protein, but you can get so many serves and things of protein in so many different foods. All plants have a little bit of protein in them, legumes, spinach. There's so many things that you can get your protein from depending on your way of eating. So they would be my main things. It's, you know, having that beautiful blend, but your micronutrients, which is your fruits and veggies, you want to be getting them in every single day.
Yeah, I think the recommended advice for us is 5 a day, but then I've heard it's actually meant to be 9 a day, but they say 5 so that people actually try and achieve it. But I know when I'm doing my smoothie in the morning, I'm probably getting my 5 a day. When I put it together, I change up my milk. So in my fridge, I have everything. I've got hazelnut, oat, soya, coconut, everything apart from dairy, basically. So I'll mix up my milks every day. I'll do peanut butter or almond butter, spinach or kale, maybe some blueberries, mango, cherries. I'll do some kind of vegan protein powder. Also, I just throw in different things every day. Like, I remember when I started and I would look at recipes online, I would weigh them, and now I just chuck on any old thing and I get such a mix. And that's kind of how I eat my rainbow without even trying. So do you have a favorite smoothie recipe? Because I know you're an absolute pro at smoothies.
Oh my gosh, I have so many. But I think a couple of my favorites, I'm the same. I just throw whatever I can in. Obviously, I'm being mindful. I don't just put like anything and everything, because smoothies are an easy way to get nutrients in, but sometimes you can go a bit overboard. And, you know, I'm all for eating in abundance, but you also want to be mindful of what you're actually putting in there, especially if you're, you know, putting heaps of nut butter and heaps of nuts and seeds. It can take your caloric intake for that meal pretty crazy. But my favorite things, kind of what I was just saying, I always try and get that blend in a smoothie. So I always try and get a carb source, a fat source, a protein source, and making sure I've got fiber in there, which comes from the plants anyway. So I've got a couple of strange ingredients that I like to put in my smoothies because I like to mix it up. But, you know, frozen banana is always a winner. I like to put frozen green peas in my smoothies. I don't know if you've seen me put that in there. I started doing this probably about a year ago. I was just like, greens, peas, a little bit of protein, amazing. You can't taste them. I love peas anyway, but I put them in. I love frozen cherries or frozen berries. I always put either chia or hemp seeds or some kind of nut butter as the protein source. Often I'll use like a vegan protein as well, just to boost that up. Sometimes I'll put like frozen avocado in there. Sweet potato is also really good, especially if you want like a really decadent, beautiful kind of dessert type smoothie. I will cook the sweet potato first and then I will freeze it. I mix that with cacao powder or like a chocolate protein and some nut butter, and it literally tastes like ice cream. Silken tofu is also a good ingredient, another vegan or vegetarian protein source that's really good with frozen berries and some nut butter and some vegan protein powder. They're probably my favorites. I really like the frozen cherries and like a cacao or a chocolate protein, so it's like a cherry ripe.
Yes, I learned that from you, the silken tofu tip. I once made the mistake of buying tofu that wasn't silken tofu. Does not work. Has to be silken tofu. But I know what you mean about the decadent ones. Like, I have one where I'll do vegan chocolate protein, cacao, cherries, and then I'll do my usual base ingredients, which is half a banana, half an avocado, peanut butter, milk. And it just makes this like black forest thick, yummy deliciousness, because with the avocado and the silken tofu, it just makes it so thick and creamy and delicious. And I'll often put toppings on top, so I might put some vegan yogurt of a certain flavor and then maybe some dried mango or nuts and just whatever. I just love it. It's so fun and so creative. So yeah, I learned that silken tofu tip from you. It's a great tip.
I also always try and add in a green sauce if I've got it. So say spinach or kale. The peas is a little bit of green, but I like to put in spinach or kale to get that extra nutrients as well.
Yeah, such a great tip. And I actually travel with my Nutribullet wherever I go. I put it in my suitcase and it's pretty heavy, but it's just the best thing ever. And it's actually great for traveling because you don't have to think, oh, how am I going to do breakfast? Like, you just get a bag of spinach and a banana and avocado and you just chuck stuff in and then you're done. And you just buy those ingredients for the week if you're staying in an Airbnb somewhere, and that's your morning breakfast done. So for people listening who are feeling like, right, it's time for me to change my diet, maybe they're listening to us talk about our smoothies and eating the rainbow and things like that, and they know, right, I need to start making some changes. Are there any common warning signs that you see in people when it's time for them to switch up their diet?
I think that, again, everybody is different. You might have a physical symptom coming up, so it could be digestive issues. I see a lot of people try and eat a certain way because they see other people eating that way, or influencers or whatever it might be, and they're like, I have to eat like that. But our bodies are so clever. Our bodies are so different, and you might be eating too much of something. You might not be getting enough of something else. So common things are digestive issues, skin issues, so rashes and things like that. It could just be your mood. Like, you could be having increased anxiety or stress, could be from excess sugar, or, you know, some kind of nutrient that you're either lacking or something you're getting from your food that is causing that. So our bodies will always signal to us when something's wrong. And it might not necessarily be food, something that you're eating, that is causing the reaction, but it's always a good starting place just to have a look at. And I always recommend people do a food diary. So if you have something coming up for the next 7 days, write down everything that you're eating. Can be a little bit tedious, but it definitely helps. And, you know, document 30 minutes after and say 2 hours after how you're feeling, physically. Have you got any of the symptoms? How you're feeling mentally? Are you feeling tired? How you're feeling energetically as well? The food that we eat becomes us. So is that impacting your energetic field? Is that impacting how you show up? And then over the 7 days, you might be able to pick up patterns. But if it's ongoing, then I definitely recommend people go and see a nutritionist or a naturopath, because sometimes, you know, it's not as easy as just doing a food diary. Sometimes you'll need some further blood tests or things like that. But yeah, our body always signals to us when something's not quite right, and often food is a good place to start.
I remember watching an interview with Meghan Markle. This was a few years ago. It was when she was still in the royal family, and she said that she eats foods based on how she'll feel afterwards. And that was such a light bulb moment for me, and it's so obvious now, but I hadn't really thought of it like that until I watched that interview, and ever since then I've done the same. So I'm like, if I eat, say, a tiramisu, I love tiramisu, but it's dairy, so I won't feel great afterwards. And like, sometimes I'll do it anyway because I love it and it's a treat. But things like that, I have to really eat in moderation, because I know I'll feel heavier, I'll feel less energetic. Whereas if I was to go to an amazing restaurant where they do like a Buddha bowl, loads of veg, some hummus, just delicious, delicious veg, I would feel light, I would feel happy, I would feel energized. And now that's how I make my food choices. Obviously, like I said, most of the time, depending on kind of the social situation. But that was such a light bulb moment for me.
Yeah. And, you know, I think sometimes people think they have to overhaul their whole diet, but it could just be tweaking something. It could just be adding something in or taking something out and trialing it and seeing how that goes for them, and seeing if that food is creating how they're feeling physically, mentally, emotionally. And I think just having the awareness piece is such a big part of health and well-being. It's being aware that the tiramisu doesn't make you feel that great, or this food doesn't make you feel that great. And it's okay to eat that food, even though you know that it's going to make you not feel so good. But just having that awareness is so key, because then you know that, okay, I know that food's not going to make me feel that great, so I will limit eating it, rather than just eating, having no idea what's actually causing the issues. So that's why, yeah, creating that awareness is a really good piece to kind of figure out, hopefully, what's causing the distress in your body.
I love that. And there are so many different diets out these days. Like I mentioned dairy, And I've seen so many accounts on Instagram, they always follow me and I always have to remove them, these keto accounts where they're like, you can just eat cheesecake and pizza and all these kind of dairy fats and steak, all the steaks you could ever want every day and you'll lose weight. And I know some people have great success with the keto diet. Can you tell us what that is exactly for people who aren't aware? Because it just seems crazy from these Instagram accounts.
Yeah, so keto is when you eat predominantly fats. So you eat very little carbs. Like I said before, carbs are important. We need them for energy. There's a lot of misinformation out there. So keto is when you primarily use fats as your fuel source. So people have amazing results with this because you're burning off fat. You're not using carbs as energy. So, I mean, I don't agree with keto, but each to their own. I know a lot of people have had amazing results with it. And like I said before, everybody is different. There's research for it, against it, showing that it's good, that it's bad, like with anything though, right? But I think the issue is that you could be missing out on a lot of nutrients because I do see that people, like what you said, they're like, I'm just eating this, this, and this. But are you getting the fruits and veggies in? Are you getting the nutrients in that you're going to actually need? Or is your body just running off this fat source, which might not actually be that good for you long term? You know, we're not really too sure. So if keto is your thing, amazing. I wish you all the best with it. But just be mindful, are you getting the nutrients, the micronutrients that we get from fruits and veggies, which if there's one thing that's like so important to get in your body because that's how our body runs. As well as protein and amino acids and things like that. We need, like I said at the start, we need the healthy fats, we need the protein, we need the carbs, and we need the micronutrients just to help it all work together.
My opinion of these diets has always been that there's not much point doing a diet if it's not going to be sustainable. And I get that some people want to do a crash diet for a wedding or maybe some kind of event. And in the short term, that will work. But I know for me, if I restrict myself or if I don't allow myself to have something, that's all I'm going to think about. I'm going to become obsessed with it. It's all I'm going to want. So for me, it really has been a journey of trying to find balance within my whole lifestyle. So finding a way of eating that works for me. And I said before, I do intermittent fasting, which works so well for me. Because I was finding lunch to be such a drag. And intuitively, I'd be like, oh God, I've got to make lunch. I got sick of it. And then when I cut it out, I was like, I feel less hungry than I did when I started eating at 8 a.m. and had lunch. I didn't ever need lunch. Now I live on two meals a day. I'm like, why did I eat that extra meal? I didn't need it. And again, that's obviously not going to be for everyone. But I could tell from how I was feeling that actually, yeah, I need to cut this out. I need to get rid of it. But I also know that I need to be able to eat whatever I want. Like I mentioned about the dairy, and I'm totally for veganism. Like veganism is the best thing to do. But I love cheese and I absolutely love it. And I know if I couldn't eat it, and I haven't found any great vegan cheeses, I mean, I'm open to recommendations, but I just know if I try to cut it out, I would miss it. I'd be miserable. I'd be annoyed. I'd feel like I was restricting myself. So yeah, I think it's really important to not have that feeling that we're restricting ourselves, because like with anything, if we try and do that, we'll probably just ping back in the other direction and just end up kind of gorging ourselves as soon as we allow ourselves to eat whatever it is we're restricting.
Yeah, absolutely. I see it all the time. People say, I'm not going to have chocolate or I'm not going to eat this. I mean, it is different in the cases of, you know, vegans and vegetarian when we cut out meat, but there's other factors at play, right? Normally it is ethical or health reasons or things like that. So that's a bit different. But say, for example, things like, I'm doing talking marks for those listening, bad foods like ice cream and chocolate and things. If we say to ourselves, I'm not going to eat them, like what you said, it's all you're going to think about. You're going to say, well, I can't have it, so I want it. And say you say to yourself, all right, I'm going to do a challenge for 8 weeks. I'm not going to eat any sugar. I'm not going to eat any ice cream or chocolate. After that 8 weeks, you're going to be like, oh my gosh, I'm so excited to eat it. And you will probably binge on it and go overboard. I see it happen all the time. So for me, I'm all about the balanced lifestyle. I'm all about, you know, 80% eating whole foods, all of the good foods, and then 20%, I call them your soul foods, like the foods that light you up, the tiramisus. I love acai bowls. I love going and getting my favorite acai bowl, which is actually called a cherry ripe bowl. It has coconut yogurt on it, it has vegan dark chocolate, and it has delicious granola. Do I eat it every day? No. Would I like to? Yes. But I live by the 80-20 rule. So I allow myself to have that. I allow myself to have the ice cream. But because I allow myself, I know that I can have it. So I'm not restricting it. And I'll have it when I feel like it and I'll enjoy it. And that's the best thing you can do, rather than saying, I'm not going to have this, I'm not going to have this, and put that kind of restriction on yourself, because it's very easy then to just be like, I'm going to eat it all then.
You just reminded me of my mum at Lent. So she's Christian, so she does Lent every year. And every year it's always a food thing she gives up. So it will be cake or chocolate, usually one of the two. And she's like counting down the days until she can eat cake or chocolate again. But she does it as a test for herself. But yeah, she's clearly not meant to cut it out, because she's always like waiting to go back for it and can't wait to have it again.
Yeah, I mean, there's some cases where, you know, I see people, if you're really addicted to sugar, sometimes it is good to go like cold turkey for 2 weeks and just retrain your taste buds. I've actually done this before because I have a huge sweet tooth, but I've trained my body now to not need the refined sugar all of the time. I remember when I did like a 2 week little sugar challenge, and my taste buds changed. I had some dark chocolate before and some dark chocolate after, and it tasted completely different. But now, like, eating refined sugar, it's too much for me sometimes. The acai bowl's good, but sometimes it's a little bit too much. So there are instances where, you know, sometimes whether it's something that's been recommended from a nutritionist point of view or something like that, or maybe you do need to cut something out because it's not serving you, that can be hard with your willpower, but sometimes you have to do it. But yeah, it's definitely about focusing on all the good stuff that you can have majority of the time, and then allowing yourself to have the soul foods or the not so healthy.
You made a really good point about sugar there, because I remember when I was working in fashion at this head office, I was stressed, it was busy, I was unhappy, not living in my purpose. And in the coffee shop, they did these incredible cakes, and they'd be different every day. So there would be tiffin and just like the most incredible cakes. So every day I would get one, and it would be like this chocolate brownie with mashed up Rolos and munchies and all these bits of chocolate bar on top. And they were just incredible. And I would pretty much have one every day, or a few times a week at least. And I felt like I needed it for energy. But of course, it was short term energy. And I didn't notice it at the time, but now I know whenever I have something sugary, that's the rest of my day done. Like, I have a huge sugar crash. I can't focus. My mind is foggy. I have a burst of energy for a little bit, and then I have a huge, huge crash. For example, a great example of this is the Christmas drinks. Like, in the coffee shops, they do the Christmas drinks with all the sugary syrups and frappuccinos. And I used to love them. And I will still have one once in a while, but I'll only do it on a day off when I haven't got to concentrate, because I know that that's the rest of my day done as far as focus and concentration is concerned. But like you said, I only noticed that later on as I became more sensitive to it, I guess. I just didn't even realize it before because I was doing it every day.
Yeah, same with me. When I really kind of got into my health journey, and, you know, I used to think that I was healthy, like pretty much Monday to Friday, but then on the weekends I'd go out, drink, eat McDonald's, like all those kinds of things. I was like, yes, I'm healthy. But in my system was a lot of toxicity. So when I was eating the sugar and, you know, the junk food, I couldn't really see, or I wasn't aware of the impact that it was having. So when I did, yeah, really get into my health and really implement what I'm talking about with whole food eating and focusing on eating the rainbow and all of the good foods, as well as, you know, some soul foods here and there, I noticed the difference. And that's okay. Like, I think, again, it's a really good thing to be aware of. And it just means that your body is functioning and it's healthy. And it's just having, you know, little things that are kind of nudging you and saying, hey, this isn't that good for me, but it's being mindful of how it's going to make you feel. And like what we said before, being okay with maybe not feeling that good after eating something that you really love every now and again.
I love that. And for anyone who feels like they want to detox, maybe they know they've got a lot of stuff built up in their system and they want to have a bit of a reset, a refresh. Do you have any advice on how to go about that?
Yeah. So I think take it slow. I see a lot of people want to do this and they're like, right, I'm going to throw everything out. I'm going to start from scratch. I'm going to just eat fruits and vegetables. But what I find happens is because it's such a big change, it depends obviously where you're at to start with. This could work for some people, but for most people that I see, you revert back to old ways of eating or you go for the sugar because you're not allowing the process to happen. So number one, make sure you're drinking enough water. That is the number one way to facilitate your body if you're cleansing or getting rid of toxins or anything like that, because most people aren't drinking enough water. So it could just be adding a glass of water every day. I, you know, aim for 2 to 3 liters a day. I've seen people out there aim for more or advocate for more. I used to do that. I used to be like, yep, 4 to 5 liter a day girl, but it was too much. My sodium levels were low because of that, but I thought I was doing the right thing. So depending on how active you are, I recommend 2 to 3 liters. So make sure you're getting enough water in and just focus on what you can add in. Focus on the goodness that you can add in. So that is your fruits and vegetables. That's your plants. Aim to fill your plate or your bowl or whatever you're eating with half filled with vegetables, because that's going to make sure that you're getting those micronutrients in to not only nourish you, but to facilitate the pathways and the cleansing, because your body cleanses itself every day. It's what your liver does. It takes out the trash. So if you are facilitating and you're giving your body the chance to do that, it's going to work better. So have a look at what you are eating during the week, and say you're eating takeaway every single night. Let's just use this for an example. Maybe takeaway 2 nights to start with for the first couple of weeks and be like, okay, I'm going to cook 2 meals a week for the first couple of weeks and then maybe take 2 more off and then take 2 more off. And then in a month, you'll be having 6 nights a week making your own beautiful meals, and then you can have, you know, Friday night takeout or something like that, and being okay with that, because that's life. You know, I see a lot of people, and I used to be like this, super healthy, like too healthy. I thought I could never eat out again. I was scared of oils. I was scared of salt. I was scared of sugar. And I was kind of towards the too healthy scale because I was focused too much on eating healthy. So remember that life is meant to be enjoyed and food is delicious. So allow yourself that. But over time, focus on getting to that 80-20 balance and making sure that, you know, you're still enjoying life, but you're giving your body all the goodness and all the nutrients that you can get throughout the week.
Such good advice. I love your approach because it's very realistic and it's also very doable. And I know I mentioned earlier about when I was growing up and we ate beige food, and it's because we didn't have any money. So for people listening who are thinking, I want to eat healthier, and like my sister is the same. I mean, her and her partner are both deaf, so they live on benefits. They don't have any spare money, like at all. And it bothers her because she wishes she could eat healthier, but she feels like she can't afford to. Do you think this is truth, or do you think it's more of a limiting belief? And are there any ways to eat healthily on a really tight budget?
Absolutely. So again, it depends what your preferences are and what food sources you want to eat. Being a vegan, I obviously don't eat meat. And I remember when I would buy meat that it was a big chunk of my shopping bill, right? So if you want to eat meat, then you've got to be prepared to buy it, especially with, you know, I haven't bought meat in 8 years, but from what I know, it's very important to get well grown, or I don't even know what you want to call it, organic, high quality meat, right? If you are happy to eat plants, it is so easy to eat healthy on a very cheap budget. So you can get frozen veggies, which are often more nutrient dense than the ones that are just sitting at the shopping centres because they're locked in, all the nutrients are locked in. So you can get a frozen bag of veggies that could last you a couple of nights or a couple of meals. Buying legumes, so things like chickpeas and lentils, are very, very cheap. Oats, very, very cheap. Smoothies are pretty easy and cheap to make if you just get your milk, plant milk. You can even use water if you really need to. Get some frozen bananas or get bananas and put them in the freezer. Bananas, I'm not sure what it's like over there or wherever you are listening in the world, but they can be quite a cheap source as well. So yeah, it can definitely not stretch the budget. You might need to sit down and really have a look at, okay, what do I definitely want to be getting? What am I happy to go without? Even just having a look through the supermarket and being like, okay, I could use that, I could use that. Have a look at some recipes. Even Google. Google will be your best friend. Cheap, healthy meals on a budget, and you will find an abundance of meals available to you.
Great advice. And I know what you mean about the meat, because I became vegetarian in 2007 and I was a teenager. So I never have bought meat. And I remember I was making a breakfast for Ali, my husband, and this was probably early 20s because we always eat vegetarian at home now. But I think it was like his birthday or something. So I was like, oh, I'm going to make him like a fry up. And I remember looking at the bacon and I was like, smoked, unsmoked. I just didn't know what to do. I was looking at it like, what is this? What do I buy? And it was so expensive. I couldn't believe how expensive meat was, because I've always bought, you know, fake meat, and it's so much cheaper. So I can totally see that. So this has been so incredibly valuable. I have loved how you shared so much great advice and all of your expertise with us. I'd love to know, finally, what is your favorite thing about doing this work?
I think helping people realize that health can be enjoyable, it can be fun, it can be simple, and you can feel good eating in a beautiful way. You can feel good filling your cup up, not only with the food that you eat, but in all areas of life, and just having people excited about looking after themselves. I think that's the biggest thing, because coming from a nursing background, a lot of my patients didn't want to be there. They just wanted their quick fix and get back home, and then they'd be back in 6 months. So really supporting people on their journey to feeling good and thriving, because that's our birthright. It's our birthright to feel good. It's our birthright to thrive and wake up every day with energy and be excited about, you know, what your day is going to bring, and feeling physically and mentally and energetically the best that you possibly can.
And where can people find you if they want to work with you?
Yeah, for sure. So I mostly hang out on Instagram. So my Instagram handle is @thefeelgoodeffect_. And we have a beautiful online holistic health program, which is called the Health Style Emporium. So the website is www.thehse.net.
Thank you so much, Sophie.
Amazing. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for listening to this episode, and please remember to subscribe to this podcast. I'm sure that, like me, you would love for more people to know this information. So if you leave a review and send me a screenshot of it on Instagram, which is @IamMsRoberta, you'll get a $50 voucher code to use on one of my online course launches. This won't be around forever, so go and leave a review now, and I'll see you next time.